Psalm 78 is a relatively long psalm in the Bible. It has a total of 72 verses. But if I can summarize this psalm pretty well in one sentence, and that is, we don't really learn much from history. Because throughout the psalms, it reminds the Israelites, God's people, that you have seen God's power, glory, from time to time again, and yet you people always forget. You have seen how God rescued them from Egypt, land of slavery, through the power, mightiful hand, you know, the 10 plagues and things like that. And he lead them walk on dry land across the Red Sea. You would think that the Israelites, God's people, would trust in God, would have faith in his, their God. But again and again, they doubted God's power and complained in the wilderness. No food, no drinks, no meat, always complaining. And then God also sent them, finally led them to the promised land and warned them that when you go to this promised land, be faithful to your God. Trust in him. Do not worship the local idols. And guess what? The people repeatedly turned to the local gods. And God said, I will forsake you. I will not protect you. You'll be suppressed, oppressed by your enemies. And then when they were being beaten up by the enemies, God sent judges to save them. Time over and time, they turn away from God, have to be saved by judges. And all this lasts over 400 years. Do we ever learn from history? This psalm ends up with a great person, a great king, King David. And this is today, I want to draw your attention to the life of David. And hopefully, all of us, every one of us, this time would learn something, learn a life lesson from a great leader, David. So let us prepare with humble hearts to learn from King David. First of all, in here, in verse 70, God chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pen. In living a life, we have to remember God chose us. God chose David. God chose David for a purpose. When David was young, God chose him to be a shepherd boy, to take care of his father's flock. And David was grown up, God chose him to shepherd, not sheep and cattle, but to shepherd his people Israelites. So God had a purpose in David's life. Similarly, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Do you know that God brought you to this earth for a good purpose? We have to learn from David that every one of us have a purpose. Theologians call this is our vocation. God called us for a purpose. In the Bible, everyone is called. Apostle Paul is called. Mary is called to bear the Son of God. And even the person who was born blind was called to reveal the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Paul, called to be apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. Here, the scripture says everyone is called. The minimum is God called us to be holy, to be set apart, to live a life for Him. President Wilson of the United States once said, "You are not here merely to make a living. You are here to enrich the world." Do you know that your life, would you allow your life to be used by God to enrich the world, to enrich the people around you? Regardless whether you are an accountant, hairdressers, engineers, civil servants, or mothers, everyone in your life, God has a purpose to serve others, to glorify God. I just mentioned civil servants. I think of some civil servants in the Bible. Joseph was a great civil servant. He served Pharaoh for many years. Daniel and his three friends served foreign kings for many years. There was one lady, Susanna Wesley. How many of you heard of Susanna Wesley? Well, she has been called Mother of Methodism because she's not well known, but she is a mother of 19 children. Nine of them died as infants, but 10 finally grew up to adult lives. And among the 10, two of them, one is called John Wesley, one is called Charles Wesley. And these two men greatly impacted England and Christianity. It's all because of Susanna. Susanna brought them up as a mother. People eventually says, you know, Charles and John Wesley, for being such a great Christians, all because of their mother, Susanna. And God used Susanna for His purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God has a plan for all of you. He wants to prosper you. So recognizing that God has a plan for you, to be a good person, to be a good citizen, good employer, or good employee. And everyone is called by God to engage in the Great Commission, to go and tell the world, make disciples of all nations. So learn from David that God chose David. God chose every one of us in this earth. Second, in verse 70, God chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob. God chose David and called him his servant. David gives us a model of being a servant. David is a servant in heart and in attitude. We all remember David is a great king. But in the Bible describes David as God's servant. David served his father as a young boy as a shepherd. David served his boss, King Saul, as a musician to comfort him. David served his country as king. And through all this, David served God. And the Bible gave him the title, David, my servant. God called his servant David. Do you have a servant heart and attitude? Do you like to serve, or would you rather be served? How do you treat in the workplace, save your customer? Do you look at your customer as a source of earning bonuses or profits? How do you treat your colleagues, co-workers? Do you treat your co-workers as stepping stones for a higher promotion? Or you treat your co-workers as someone that work together with you to bless one another, to support each other? How do you treat your employer? Do you have a servant attitude that you are a diligent, faithful employee, regardless whether your boss is watching you or not watching you, whether he or she is around or not around? Our culture is to teach us to be me number one. We like to be number one to be served. But Christian culture is counter-cultural to the world. The Bible teaches us our life is to serve others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5 says, "Do nothing out of a selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." The Bible asks us that our life attitude should be the same as like Christ Jesus. And what is the attitude of Christ Jesus? Attitude of Christ Jesus is for the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. So how do you serve in your work? How do you live your life as a servant of God? As a student? As a homemaker? Do you make your life to bless other people? To make other people a better human being, to enhance the world, to make the world a better place. Third, in verse 72, "And David shepherded them with integrity of heart." David shepherded them with integrity of heart. David lived his life with integrity. David's life was not perfect. We know that David committed terrible sin, and the most severe one was probably the adulterous and murder. Yet David, when confronted by God's prophet Nathan, approached him and pointed out his sin, David immediately confessed. David, even though he was a king, was humble enough to recognize his sin. He did not pass on the blame, or he did not make excuses or justify of his sin. David, when confronted by God's prophet, he confessed. And that is integrity. What is integrity? I give the simple definition. Integrity is living our life the same inside or outside. Or seeing the things that we say and the things we do are consistent with one another. That's integrity. David lived a life of integrity. I hope that all Christians would also live our life with integrity. The world's number one survey, the number one criticism on Christians, survey after survey, is they don't think Christians have integrity. Hypocrisy was always the number one criticism among surveys. So how do you live your life integrity at your workplace? Do you make false promises just to get out of trouble? Do you put in your honest 8 hours a day of work? Do you take things away from your employer? As a student, how do you honestly do your work with your hard work? Do you take credits or download things that does not belong to you? I think that all these are things that we have to examine our life to see whether we are a person of integrity. Finally, fourthly, and David also shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them. David served his people with skill. One of the great stories that we heard from David is his defeat of the giant Goliath, right? So how did David defeat Goliath? Well, that's right. Some people said David defeated Goliath with God's help. Of course, God is the factor, but the technique that he used, or God used, is his slingshot, right? And how many stones David have used? One, right? In a battle, if you just throw one stone and it hits on your enemy's forehead and knock him down. You know, is you think this is just by chance? No. Can if I ask you to use slingshot to hit at a target, how many of you think that in one shot you can do it? I don't think many of us, any one of us, can do it. You know, you hit right on the target. So David's skill of using the slingshot was with skill. That's skill. And David also have great plans too. You know, the Bible described when David faced Goliath, he made preparation. What kind of preparation he made? He went to select 5 smooth stones. You know? Why it has to be smooth? Well, smooth stone is more accurate, right? So less, reduce the aerodynamics, you know, and to hit the target right on. And why 5? You know, that means they would have plan B. If the first stone doesn't hit, he got another plan B, C, D, and E, you know. So David have skill. David have good plans. As Christians, do we live our life, have our plans to improve ourselves? Often Christians are called nice people, but are we also competent people? Daniel, book of Daniel chapter 6, talk about some enemies of Daniel. You know, Daniel was rising up high in the king's hierarchy. People got jealous of him. And the enemies of Daniel wants to pull him down, accused him. But Daniel chapter 6 verse 4 says, the enemies could not find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. You see, Daniel did his work always with no negligence, never with corruption. So the enemies could not find anything against Daniel. So finally, they attacked Daniel through the only thing that they find is through Daniel's own religious ground. And then I asked the king to set up, without any awareness, set up a law that will prohibit anybody from praying. So, how can we live a life with skills? Every one of us in our life have to do something. The work that you do is that work that you put your heart to improve on. In our church, we have a lot of musicians. Many of us, we sing that, Benjamin played the violin so good, you know. But then you have to ask his mother how many hours and hours of practice he put in the violin. Or anything that is good that requires a lot of hours, a lot of practice, requires continual education, require hard work. We need, all of us, if you are a chef, you are a cook, I think you have to improve of your cooking skill to learn in whatever areas. Can your boss trust you to complete the requirement assignment. As Christians, we need to be good at what God called us to do. David's life summary was summarized well according to Apostle Paul. And I think the Apostle Paul's summary of David's life is equally applicable to every one of us. Please turn to the Bible, Acts chapter 13. And if you can find it, we'd like to read that all together. And that is our tribute, our lessons in David's life. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. Does everybody got that? Okay. If you got it, let's read it together. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. The one that I'd like to draw your attention is the first two phrases. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. Paul did not mention how many battles David won for God. Or Paul did not mention David's conquered territory. Paul just mentioned that David served God's purpose in his own generation. I think all of us should live a life to ask ourselves whether in my life I have served God's purpose in my own generation. I wish that when I died, I am worthy to be remembered as a good father, a good husband, a good grandfather, and a faithful pastor in God's church. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that the Bibles are full of life stories. Some of the stories are failures. Some of the stories are good stories. Like David, like Apostle Paul, who says he has run the good race, he has finished the journey, he has been faithful. And we pray that we all live our life learning from these examples, from David's example today. And we will serve you, fulfill your purpose in our own generation, in your calling of our life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.